Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Your geriatric advisors are here. Yo, we getting old, y'all.
Hobbling, but we're here.
Yeah. I'm glad. This is one of those moments I'm glad we don't have a video podcast.
Agreed.
Because we're in here struggling, y'all.
And I look the part. I can't lie. I'm very aware.
Andrea got the reading glasses on. The other day I was in the office late. I had to borrow Andrea's reading glasses. And I felt like Superman with those laser beam eyes when I put those things on. And I'm not even making fun because
they're a little strong for you, though.
I clearly needed them myself. Like, backs be hurting a little bit from time to time.
A little bit.
It gets like that. Yeah. When we do these forecasts and we show people their retirement projections and we take that spreadsheet out to age 100.
Yep.
I'm like, man, my knees. I know my knees gonna be hurting bad by then.
Oh, listen. My knees right now are about 85. I have 85-year-old knees. That's 10 years of running.
Yeah. My back's about 58 right now.
Only 58?
Okay, 62.
Okay.
My back is 62.
I'll accept it.
The crazy thing is my mind, I feel like, is like 32. For real. Like, yeah. How do you feel mentally?
Mentally? Mentally only? I'm a good 35.
Okay. All right. Still mature.
I'm mature 35.
I got you. I got you. Yeah, but that's how it is, man. That's how it is.
Better than the alternative.
Yeah, that's a fact. How's life?
It's good.
Yeah?
I'm still holding on to summer.
Okay. Hey, hold.
The thermometer says otherwise. Yo, most of the day.
Why did the temperature turn on a dime? Like
September 1. Like, that's what happens in the Northeast.
No.
Yes.
Not that dramatically. We went from summer to fall overnight.
We did. But it feels typical to me, though.
I need someone to launch an investigation. I need congressional testimony.
And who's going to be held accountable?
I don't know. Mother Nature. Bring her on down here.
You got a couple more weeks left in the pool.
Yeah.
Haven't closed the pool yet.
Pool's about to be closed.
Really? Like,
yeah. It's no point.
Is it heated?
By the sun. If that counts.
you might as well go on and shut that down.
Yeah,
man.
May as well. I did have a little pool party the other day. It was nice. It was a cookout. We had a controversial argument in the office about is it a barbecue or a cookout?
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing that's regional. What's your take? Is it a cookout or is it barbecue? We know it's not a picnic. We know that.
It is not that.
Yes.
I never heard of that foolishness, honestly, until I came to New Jersey. But I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't really have a strong opinion other than it's not a picnic.
Some people call something called a kickback. Have you heard of that? Have you heard someone say that before?
Sure.
Yeah. That sounds strange. That's like you're doing too much. Why you got to say all that? You're kickback? Describing how we're going to be enjoying each other? Like, what if I don't want to be kicking back?
But like a kickback doesn't mean indoors, outdoors. It's just a gathering.
That's too much. Don't tell me squeaking. What I'm going
to
be doing.
Oh.
Yeah, don't tell me all that.
I hear you.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's nice to know. Because you got to know how to dress, what to bring, who to bring.
I'm sorry. How does kickback help you understand any of that?
It's a vibe. Kickback.
Is it?
Has a connotation of a certain kind of vibe.
Well, I don't feel relaxed, so I guess I can't come. I guess it gives me a reason not to come.
So what event did you host?
A cookout. Okay. Yeah, I had a cookout.
And what makes a cookout? Is it the fact that you are cooking outside?
It's food and it's outside.
Okay.
That's it.
if you had a catered event?
It was actually
and
catered.
And it's outside?
It was catered.
Okay.
It was a cookout.
Okay.
Yeah, I did a little cooking myself just to solidify.
Was barbecue sauce used?
It was. And an outdoor grill was used.
Okay.
But
you could go either way.
I still go a cookout.
It's
maybe
fine.
That's a Jersey thing. I don't know.
I'm indifferent.
My New York friends called it a barbecue. I'm like, all right. It feels like the same thing, but okay.
I don't know.
So we've been spending a lot of time with clients. We always educate people. And we talked a while back about, like, there's some clients that we love, the ones that are, like, really educated. But the ones that I'm going to say challenge us are the ones that really think they're educated, but they are not.
Oh, or they are, but their confidence, I say it this way, their confidence is greater than their knowledge base.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Love people that are coachable.
Yep.
Love people that are willing to learn.
Absolutely.
In fact, I would suggest that if you're listening to this podcast right now, you are coachable.
Sure.
You are our type of people.
Yes. And I'm okay to acknowledge that I don't know everything.
Word. I learn every day.
Every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes clients bring me ideas and I'm like, I hadn't seen that before.
Yeah.
I've never thought of that. Let me give it some thought.
Yeah.
But most of the time.
Yeah. Because we talked last week about financial self-esteem.
We did.
And a big part of that is the connection between your financial literacy and your own self-confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the challenges is the lack of financial literacy coupled with overconfidence. And sometimes it leads to really bad expectations, right? Like, we had a joke in the office earlier about some of the conversations we have with clients this week. Clients
hilarious.
That the market's been really good this year.
Yep.
And they want more. Like,
yeah.
Some folks ain't satisfied.
You're up 8-9%, even though you took a $40,000 withdrawal.
Mm.
Yeah, that's cool. How can we double that? It's like,
yo. Like, we're not making these numbers up.
You can take on more risk, but you might lose twice as much.
Yeah.
And you're not built for that. I already know that about you.
Yeah. I see we made 7% last year. Can we make it 10?
Yeah, because we're just out here
manufacturing profits.
Right.
You know, I had a feeling you'd want more.
Right.
Let me break out this extra 3% we had hiding.
Crazy.
So today, our conversation is just simply called,
what's in the bag?
We're talking about funds, like this word fund we hear misused a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We've heard people say, well, I don't want to take a lot of risk. I don't want to be in a fund. I don't want to be in a mutual fund because I'm not trying to take a lot of risk.
Mutual funds aren't automatically risky or not risky.
Word. Because it matters.
What's in the bag?
Yeah, so.
Or what's in the fund?
That's exactly it. So today's conversation, we're going to dive deep into this word fund. What does it mean? What does it mean for you?
Mm-hmm.
What's inside of your bags? But we're also going to talk about this new development that's happening in the money management space called direct indexing.
Okay.
That'll be something that'll be advanced. So
I like
if you can make it through to the end, then there's something for everybody on this call.
We're going to do our best.
Yes.
To keep your attention.
We'll go from the easiest conversation to the most complex.
Okay.
When it comes to funds. And we're going to make sure that you know
what's in the bag.
That's it. So let's get started with some stats. Would you believe, Andrea?
Yep.
Almost 46% of 401k investors have no idea what's in their plan.
I absolutely believe that.
They don't know what's in the bag.
I absolutely believe that. What happens is when you enroll in your employer's 401k, they give you a list of investment choices. And usually, especially if you're onboarding with that employer for the first time, you got a bunch of stuff to authorize and sign up on, sign up for. Even if you're not new to the company, but you're new to the plan, you're going to pick something that feels good, sounds good, or maybe looks good, and you might not ever look at it again.
Yeah.
Other than the balance to see if you're up or down.
Yeah.
And you're more likely going to be up because you're probably adding money to it all the time.
We hope.
So even if your returns are negative, I'm getting deep already. We're
balance
supposed to start
growing.
Off simple.
That's okay. Balance is growing.
The balance is growing.
We're with
So
you.
Most of the time, it's just like, eh. So you don't really know what you own.
Yeah. I haven't started a new job in a long time, but I remember like the jitters of starting a new job. You're trying to meet people. You want to make sure you show up on time. You put your good foot forward. And sometimes you don't take the time to understand what's in the bag.
Yeah, it's a lot. You're picking benefits and health insurance and life insurance, maybe. And
you might be looking for a work wife.
Direct deposit. I'm just going to keep going.
So let me give you some more stats. Almost 59% of employers are automatically enrolling their employees in the 401k. I actually like this because we're nudging people towards something that we want them to do.
Sure.
But they're also going to automatically enroll you in an investment option.
Right.
And you may not know if it's right for you.
What are they picking?
Man, it depends on the plan.
The research didn't go that far.
I mean, sometimes they're picking target date funds for you.
Okay, yeah.
Sometimes they're picking money market funds for you, cash.
Yep. Stable value fund.
Yes, that's exactly right. Yeah. That's what they call it.
Yep.
We need to know what's in the bag.
You need to know what's in it.
In fact, 87% of the time, the target date fund is the option. That's the default for folks who enroll but did not pick anything.
I've seen that. You know, we're talking to clients just assessing their current, we call it their current financial situation or their current financial picture. Mm-hmm. And we ask for statements because we want to know how they're invested. And then we realize, oh, target date fund. And then what do? We're like, what's in this fund?
Yeah, we really got to know.
Yeah.
And we're going to go through target date funds today because a lot of people are in them. In fact, last year, 60% of all new money that landed in 401k plans landed in target date funds. And you'll be surprised at what we uncover later, but I'll give you the teaser in advance. A lot of times they're way riskier than you realize.
Yeah.
But it sounds like the right thing to pick because it's got a good number on there and it seems like it's forever into the future.
Yep.
But you got to know what's in the bag.
We need to know.
And then finally, when we talk about the racial lens, we don't bring up race all the time. I know y'all don't see color.
We understand that.
It's not all the time, but sometimes.
Maybe not all the time.
But in terms of ownership of stocks and bonds, in white families, they own more stocks than black families and Latin families. I won't even get into the stats, but it's more. And I won't say it's all because of financial literacy. Sometimes it's because some folks were born on second base. I was telling my boys the other day, we were texting and they were saying like how they feel. One of my boys, he constantly feels inferior financially because of what his colleagues who make the same amount have. And I'm like, look, you don't know if somebody was born on second base.
Right.
But think about where you came from.
Yep.
And think about where you are today. Because a lot of us are first generation, like the first chance to ever build wealth in our families.
Gotta take some risk.
You know? Sorry that while y'all were building stock portfolios, we were building America, and we're a little behind.
Not getting paid for it.
Hello.
Oh, that's not the show. My bad.
We're going to talk about what's in the bag. So let's get into it. So what is a fund, Andre? You're a financial advisor. You've got all the certifications, the education, the experience. Mm. Break that down for me. What is a fund?
You do too. Don't you have an MBA in finance?
Hey.
From NYU, Stern School of Business?
That's what they tell me.
I'm just joking. I'm joking. Actually, I'm not joking because that is true. But a fund is basically a financial instrument that pulls money together from multiple people to buy a group of investments.
So let's break that down.
Mm-hmm.
Sounded very astute, what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
But you said, all right, we got a financial product, which I always find that word to be funny. Like,
product.
Like, I know products, like, at a store, but, like, a financial product. It's like a thing you can't see, touch, or feel.
Yeah.
But somehow you can own it, and it can impact your financial future.
Mm-hmm.
But they're pulling together money from multiple people to buy an investment.
Yep.
That sounds good, but, like, I still don't know enough.
Right.
I look at that word fund.
What did I just buy?
Word. Mm-hmm. I look at that fund like an empty brown paper bag.
Okay.
I come to your crib, and I'm like, Andre, I'm so excited, yo. We're going to be eating good today.
That's it.
We're going to have a cookout and a barbecue. And a
everything
kickback.
We need is in this bag.
Yes. What's your next question?
You couldn't put it in something else?
Nah, come on, man. Stay on theme, you fun sponge.
I did to say basket because basket sounds like a gift. But, you know, I got you.
I walk in with a brown paper bag. You're going to say, what's in the bag? I'm like, oh, well, let's look inside. So anytime you hear that word fund, I want you to think brown paper bag of food. It's a grocery bag. It's a bag from Target. I just came in from Target.
It's a tote.
It's a tote bag. Mm-hmm. It might be Santa Claus's bag.
Okay.
But you want to know.
What's in the bag?
So let's break it down.
What's in here?
What are some characteristics of funds? Number one, a fund is always going to have a fund manager.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a company and a person or team of people that are actually picking the investments for the fund.
Correct. Just to be clear, that's not us. We manage funds, but we are not fund manager. Meaning we manage money, but we don't pick what goes inside of a bag. We analyze what's in the bag, and we take a look at what's in it, and we give our opinion on whether or not you have too much of something, not enough of something, and maybe we need to put other things in the bag. But Momentum Advisors is not a fund manager.
Correct.
I just felt like it was important to say that.
Fine. But you bring up another good distinction.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm the investor, it's my money.
Yep.
I don't really have a say as to what's in the bag.
Correct.
My only say is, do I pick up that bag or do I pick up a different bag?
Right.
But it's not up to you. It's up to the fund manager. That's the firm and the team of people who are making the investments.
Yep.
Other things about funds. They always have fees inside of them.
Always.
You may not know this.
We usually don't.
But it's in there. What they used to say, Ragu, it's in there.
It's in there. Prego? I don't know.
Prego,
one
maybe.
Of those
I don't
sauce
know.
Brands.
Yeah. I had spaghetti last night, actually. Big shout out to my wife for making a good meal for me.
Jar sauce? Homie. I'm
just kidding. I don't know.
That sounds like I'm judging, right?
You know it was a jar. You know it was.
I don't know for sure.
You think jokers are actually taking tomatoes and
listen, I did it once
them?
And it was so good that I was like,
really?
I will never buy jar sauce again.
Is that what you do?
No.
Oh, okay.
I did it the one time because I had some fresh tomato. I'm a foodie.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I have to do something with this. So I'm like, I'm going to make my own sauce. And I did. And it was so good. But no, very quickly.
I ain't doing all that.
Yeah, I ain't doing all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I
but
would
I was
really
not
love?
Judging. Yeah. I was not judging as I made homemade pizza with jarred sauce, real tomatoes.
Okay.
And some other stuff.
You know what I really want?
What do you
to
want?
Make? And like, just because I like how it tastes, is like some homemade pasta.
Really?
I love like fresh pasta out.
Really?
Like if you go to a nice Italian restaurant or any restaurant that makes their pasta fresh, it
just
is so
looks
good.
It like a lot of work.
It seems like a lot of work. That I'm not willing to do.
Correct.
By the way.
Yeah.
But that's kind of like a fund.
Mm-hmm.
Like somebody else did the work. It's a packaged good. It's a thing. And whatever's on the ingredients list is inside. The challenge, though, with these funds, you really don't know.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about how to know what's inside. But other characteristics of funds or other things that go on with funds, the fund can own stocks or it can own bonds or it can own both.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the most important thing you need to know when you're looking at a fund.
What is inside of it?
Yeah, like that's what determines if it's risky or safe.
And if it's stocks and bonds, how much of each one?
Word. By now, you've been listening to us, we hope, long enough to know the difference between stocks and bonds.
Yep.
I will tell you, I did not know the difference myself until I went to grad school.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I did.
Yeah.
I even got my securities license and did not know. The difference between stocks
you're lying
and bonds.
Though.
Not well
you,
enough.
Not
fully. Like I understood
you
the
knew
general concept.
One was an ownership interest in the company and the other was.
I did not know that I was going to lose my shirt. That's what I mean. Like I knew, but I didn't know.
Sounds like a man.
Like we have a client that we're just bringing on right now and he just started investing in the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he's ready to go deeper into stocks.
Okay.
We spent the whole day today just educating him on what that really means. We went back to 1932.
Mm.
We went back to 1972. We went back to 2002.
Okay.
We went to 2008. And we talked about the fact that stocks, they're high risk and they're high reward.
Did you talk about 2022? That was a bad year for stocks. Actually, that was a bad year for everything.
It was a bad year for stocks and bonds.
It was.
We went through all that.
We talked about that.
Yeah, it's easy for folks to just think that they can buy today and get yesterday's return.
Yeah. That's...
It doesn't work
like that. Recency bias. And we talked about that.
Yeah. For folks that are just getting started as investors in the last couple of years, like, you don't have the perspective to know what it actually feels like to go through some of those time frames.
Right. Or sometimes... You may have gone through it, and that's all you remember.
Word. And you might be scarred by that.
Yeah, that's real. That's real trauma. It feels like trauma.
Yeah. So bonds are low risk, low reward. Bonds are like buying a CD from a bank, a certificate of deposit. You give your money, you get your money back plus a little bit of interest. You know you'll never get rich owning bonds, but you certainly can go to sleep at night and know that your money is safe.
Yeah.
And so when you're looking at what's in the bag, that's the biggest thing you're trying to figure out. Does this bag, does this fund have stocks in it, or does it have bonds? And to Andrea's point, if it has both,
how much of each?
Yep. If it has both, how much of each in percentages?
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to go to break.
Okay.
But when we come back, we're going to keep this thing going. We're talking about funds. We're talking about what's in the bag.
Ooh, we're going to talk about different kinds of funds.
Ooh, saucy. I like it.
Sure.
I'm Alan Boomer.
Andrea Gray.
And we are the Momentum Advisors.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Momentum. We are back.
Back.
Yo, I love putting Andrea on the spot in moments like that. Like, you don't see what's going on. I'm pointing to her. Like, come on.
Here's your, like, boom.
Here's your chance.
Like, I got nothing.
Yeah, like, here's Drea.
And I'm feeling like Ed McMahon, the sidekick.
Yeah.
Where's
the big check, though?
Do our listeners know who that is, though?
Exactly.
That is...
Our true listeners, our old school listeners.
Age,
they know.
Man.
They know. Yeah, I made a special Ed reference in the office the other day to our younger employees, and they looked at me like, who are you talking about?
That was my man.
Special Ed?
Yeah. That just...
Every other day,
cute.
I get a brand new car.
Yep. The video, what was it, the mission?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That video sequence, that was dope.
I got 20, that's plenty, but I still want more.
Yeah.
I can't even count my Honda scooters. I've got.
I don't know.
74.
I forgot.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I forgot.
Fire.
So LL was on the Today Show today.
Mm. He's got a new album out.
Yeah.
Produced by Q-Tip.
I did not know
Tribe
that.
Tribe Called Quest.
I did not know that. Tribe Called Quest, my favorite hip hop group.
Yes.
Anyways.
Were you going to tell us about LL today or just randomly
just talking
mentioning?
About Black old
facts?
School throwback.
Okay.
Rappers.
All right. Yeah.
In the time of special ed.
Yeah.
I mean, LL had been around for a minute.
Yeah. Rich Homie Quan died this week.
I saw that.
Yeah.
What happened?
I think he was, I mean, look, I'm hearing rumors. I mean, they announced his death. I think it was drug related. I think he, you know, a lot of folks are dying off fentanyl, being laced into drugs and taking pills. I don't know. I don't want to add to rumors and innuendo, but, you know, that's what the young
It's been a lot of loss said. In the hip-hop community.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, like, it's unfortunate, yo. It's very unfortunate.
Yeah.
So.
But we're going to get back on track here.
You brought everybody down, Andrea.
I'm sorry. I am a fun sponge. Damn.
So we're talking about what's in the bag. And we talked about the fact that the biggest thing to know is whether you're in stocks or bonds or some combination. But now that we've understood that, next you got to figure out, well, how are they managing the stocks or the bonds? What is the strategy?
What's the goal? What are they trying to accomplish?
And there's two categories of ways that they can invest the money.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now that we've decided if it's stocks or bonds, now are they going to be...
Growth?
No. It's Say it again.
Now, growth and income? Like, I don't know.
Now, are they going to be active?
Ah.
Or are they going to be passive?
I should probably start looking at the paper. I should start looking at the show notes. Again, keeping it all the way real, we don't have scripts. This is unscripted. But we do have notes. And I'm just not looking at them. Like, not at all. That's why you're like, go. And I'm like, what?
That's so funny.
Sorry.
All right. So in reality, we'll determine whether we're cutting this or we're going to make it sound right. So do you want to try it the right way?
Let's try it the right way.
Okay.
But I think we should keep the fact that.
All right, fine.
I should look at the show notes.
Yeah. But you do bring a good point that the money management industry does throw out these words because there's meaning in the words, but sometimes it just sounds good.
Sure.
They're trying to market themselves. It's a product. They're trying to market it. And if we put in words like growth, it might entice somebody to buy into it, right?
Yeah.
Growth tends to connotate stock.
Yep.
Right? Income tends to connotate bonds.
Yeah.
Or sometimes it could also mean dividends.
Sure.
But next, what's the general type of way that the money's being managed? One way is passive.
Yep.
I would describe passive as someone that's trying to be the index.
Right.
What do I mean by the index? So there are groupings of investments that get publicized in the newspaper so that folks know that if I've got a similar type of portfolio, I can use that as a comparison point. Like if I was talking about football, I might say the NFC East, for example.
Okay.
Or the AFC East. Like that's the group that I'm comparing myself to.
Right.
Right? And that would be like an index, right? So if I'm a Jets fan and right now I'm in tied for first and last place because we haven't played a game yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I might compare myself to where I rank in the AFC East.
Absolutely.
So that's kind of like an index.
Yeah. So it's easy to track where you are or where you should be.
Yeah. So when I say passive, it means that the manager is trying to be the index. They're trying to deliver to you the average of all of the stocks or the average of all of the bonds that are inside of that index or that grouping of investments.
Fair.
Active is not trying to be the index. They're trying to
beat the index or whatever benchmark they've decided to establish their progress against.
That's it.
That's it. So they're going to be more actively trading, doing more things more often. They're probably going to charge a higher fee almost always because the fund manager has to get and his or her team has to get paid for the active management that they're doing.
Yeah, that's it. You nailed it. Passive is trying to be the index. Active is trying to beat the index.
Oh, and by the way, the fees are the same whether they beat the index or not.
Yeah, if you're
in
an
active
fund,
strategy,
if you're an active fund, you're paying the same amount. And newsflash, there's no guarantee they're going to beat the index.
Correct.
In fact, many managers are not beating the index, but they're still charging that big behind fee.
Yep, that's exactly right.
Like that's why, again, you don't have a choice of what's in the fund, but you have a choice on whether you own that fund or not.
And that's why I thought it was important in the opening to talk about the fact that we are not fund managers. We do manage money. And I've gotten the question. I don't know if you've gotten this question. Just the way we charge, it's kind of like, so if we don't hit our return target, is the fee the same? I'm like, heck yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's not my job. My job is not to... I'm still doing my job, whether we hit our targets or not, but it's so much more than investing that what we do. We're financial planners, so we're doing other things besides investing money.
Yeah.
So I get a little nervous when people ask the question that way, because to me it makes it seem like from their perspective, they're paying us to get a certain return, which we can't control.
No control over that. We do have control over the financial planning process. Did we review your home and auto? Did we help make sure you've got the right life and disability coverage?
Mm-hmm.
Did we sit down and talk to you about tax planning? Did we think about your charitable goals? And then there's the investments. That's a piece of it. But like you're saying, Andrea, we have no control over it. I really think about investing like this, like our job is like this. Like imagine we were ship builders for a moment. I'm sure you've
you were so cautious yourself. In how you
I
said
know.
That.
Mm-hmm. Did y'all used to do that thing where you hold your tongue when you were a kid, hold your tongue and say, "My father works in the shipyard"?
Yes. Yep. I couldn't remember what the expression was, but we used to say something like, "My daddy works on ships in the shipyard" or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Where did these things come from? We were so creative back in the 70s and 80s.
Would, like, catch on, like look down. This is really inappropriate, by the way, but, oh, why am I talking about this? I can't help it.
Don't do it.
You would tell a girl to look in her shirt and say, and spell attic? Y'all never did that? Y'all didn't have that one?
No. But the thing is, I'm not even getting it.
Spell it.
A-T-T-I-C. Oh, wait.
Okay.
What is
our problem? We're supposed to be financial
What's in
advisors.
Your cup?
We're supposed to be serious. I'm drinking agua. Picante, apparently.
Okay.
So, be the index, beat the index. You talked about fees.
Yep.
So typically an active management fund, and I say typically because there's exceptions to all of this stuff.
Always.
But typically an active fund is structured as a mutual fund.
Yep.
Most mutual funds are structured as open-ended funds. And open-ended, all it simply means is that they're issuing more shares every time somebody buys into the fund.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with you. Like a mutual fund trades once a day. It tends to be active in how it's being managed, and there tend to be fees inside that are higher than a passive fund.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's ETFs.
Exchange-traded funds.
Exchange-traded funds. These tend to be, not always, but they tend to be index funds. They tend to be passive.
Yep.
They tend to be a lot less expensive.
Correct.
And their goal tends to be the index.
Yep.
A lot of times people buy the ETF, not just because it's less expensive, but because a lot of times the actively managed fund has let them down.
Right.
And they've charged all these fees and they're not beating the index like they're supposed to.
Not consistently enough to justify the additional costs.
Other types of funds.
Mm-hmm.
There's something called closed-end funds.
Hmm.
A closed-end fund simply, like, they issue a specific number of shares at the beginning. They don't issue more shares, and therefore the price of that fund may actually be at a premium or a discount to the actual assets in that fund. Like
right.
You might have a closed-end fund that is a basket of regular stocks, but because of how it's structured, that basket might be trading at a discount to the overall value of what's inside the bag.
Right. And once they reach that predetermined amount of shares that they're going to issue, the fund literally closes and you can't buy into it anymore.
Unless you're buying it on a secondary market.
Unless you're buying it in secondary market.
Yeah, that's it. None of that really matters. Open end, closed end, it doesn't really matter. ETF,
right.
What matters is what's in the bag. Is it stocks or bonds? And is it an active or a passive strategy?
Yep.
And what's the fee? And is that fee something I'm willing to pay? Is that a reasonable fee?
That's right.
Other types of funds, hedge fund. You hear that word a lot. A hedge fund could be a mutual fund. Or it could be a private fund. A hedge fund could be trading stocks, long and short, meaning I'm trying to profit if stocks go up or profit if stocks go down. Or it could be a hedge fund that's trading bonds. Like that word hedge fund, it simply means that there's someone trying to hedge their bet. It's an active fund.
That's
they
right.
probably have a high fee. They're probably trying to be different than the stock market. But again, this word fund, I don't want us to think that we know about it just because we hear that word fund.
That's right.
So how do I really know what's in the bag? Like, I'm not a Wall Street genius. Like, I listen to the podcast.
No, I'm kidding.
The listener. I don't consider myself any kind of genius, but I'm a listener. And I listen to podcasts and I'm learning. But I want to be able to look at these things and really just kind of know what's in them off the name. A lot of times.
The name tells a lot.
Yeah,
doesn't
it does.
Tell everything, but it tells a lot.
Yeah. So we did this little exercise. We went into one of our clients' 401k options, and we just listed every single fund. And the first thing you'll see is a ticker, right?
Yep.
A ticker for a mutual fund tends to be?
Five letters.
A ticker for an ETF tends to be?
Three or four.
Yep. Very good. So that's going to give you some insight.
I know a little something.
Already. The ticker, right?
Yep.
If it's five letters, then we look at the name.
Yep.
Okay. I'm going to pick some randomly. Andre, I want you to tell me what's in the bag based on just the name.
Okay.
Okay. All right. T. Rowe Price Mid-Cap Growth Fund. iShares.
That's a lot of words,
yes.
But mid-cap means mid-sized companies.
Okay.
Growth indicates it's probably stocks.
Okay.
Or higher risk things that we expect to have higher return over the long term.
Mm-hmm.
Mid-cap growth, what else?
Fund I.
I know that the I stands for the share class. Mm-hmm. And are we getting into that today? Institutional share classes.
We sure will.
Tend to be lower costs
mm-hmm.
than other share classes because of the volume.
And who's the manager?
T. Rowe Price.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's it. That's what the name is telling you.
I didn't really start at the beginning.
No, but you kind of did. You got it. So it's mid-cap growth stocks. Like, these are medium-sized companies. Medium might be anywhere between, call it a $2 billion market cap company. That's if you added up all the shares and what's the value of that company if you bought the whole thing. Anywhere from $2 billion to about $10 or $15 billion would be considered a mid-cap company.
Mm-hmm.
Growth certainly implies it's a stock fund, but it also might be invested in companies that are growth companies, right? Growth
mm-hmm.
company is a company that tends to not pay dividends. They tend to reinvest their profits because they think they're going to grow at a faster pace than the rest of the market.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you another one. Okay. American Funds Bond Fund of America, R6.
All right. So American Fund is the manager.
Mm-hmm.
American Funds is the manager. I have bad short-term memory.
Bond Fund of America, R6.
It's a fund of bonds
mm-hmm.
with American issuers.
Okay. R6.
That's the series.
Yeah, it's the share
they
class.
Different iterations of it.
Yeah, a lot of times retirement funds will have a R or an I as a share class.
Yep.
And we'll get into what the share classes really mean. But so now we've given you a stock fund and a bond fund,
mm-hmm.
right? One is... Which one would you consider safe? Which one would you consider risky of the two funds I just gave you?
The growth fund, definitely more risky, and the bond fund, a little safer.
And why do you say that?
Just by definition of stocks and bonds.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's what's in the bag determines how much risk you're taking.
Yep.
Now, I will tell you that, like, I know we talk about being diversified. And you should own large stocks. You should own medium stocks. And you should own small ones. You should own international and U.S. and emerging market. But I will tell you that all stocks are going to act like stocks.
Right.
At the same time, usually. Usually. I'm taking
usually,
the indexes.
Generally speaking, yes. Yep.
There's not like a safe stock per se. There might be stocks that
are
safer than others.
Right.
But they're still stocks.
Right. Like some people will think an older company or a company that's been around longer is safer because they've existed for a long time.
Come on.
And that might have been the case at a point in time, but we don't always know what's going on with that company at the point in time that
client
feels like, you know.
Like Polaroid, for example. They've been around a long time. They must be a safe company.
Kodak. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
You feel me, right? Like
the
length of time or the whether you know the company or not by name doesn't make it safe or risky. The idea is that stocks are risky.
Yes.
And they're also high reward. We're not saying don't buy them. We're
saying
understand what you're buying. You got to know what's in the bag. And anytime you hear that word bond, that just implies that there's some level of safeness because what you're buying is safer on average.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you another one. Last one. And this was is intended to stump you. I'll be surprised if you get this one. Because I didn't know.
You know
this
I
one.
Like a challenge.
Vanguard Explorer Fund Admiral.
Now I know, because I know Vanguard, that I'm starting with what I know.
Okay. Okay.
Admiral is their share class. It's like a low cost share class.
Okay.
Admiral shares at Vanguard.
Mm-hmm.
Explorer?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but I'm willing to guess.
Okay.
And I'm totally fine to be wrong.
Okay.
But I'm just doing this for fun.
Yep.
Explorer. So I'm thinking it could either be like smaller cap companies or like companies that.
So stocks or bonds?
Stocks.
Okay.
I'm thinking stocks.
Okay.
But I'm also thinking Maybe it's like emerging industries.
Yo, how do you do this? I did not know this from looking at this, and you guessed it perfectly.
It really was a guess because I'm like, explorer. What would a company or a group of companies, what would they be exploring?
I don't know.
I'm thinking it's emerging technologies or emerging.
Yo, you are good, yo. You are very good. Okay, so then the second way to know what's in the bag, you might have to look it up.
Sure.
My personal favorite place to look up funds, it's Morningstar, morningstar.com. They didn't pay us a check, but maybe they should cut us a check. Maybe they should endorse us. We spend a lot of money with them.
I'm like, yeah, we pay them a lot.
Yeah, that's one of our most expensive software packages at the company.
Mm-hmm.
Cut the check, Morningstar. We want to say Momentum Advisor, sponsored by Morningstar.
There you go.
Brought to you by
Morningstar.
So, if I need to look up the fund, I go to morningstar.com. Mm-hmm. Really, you can literally just type in the ticker.
Yeah, you'll find research on it.
You could type it in without going to Morningstar.
Mm-hmm.
But the ticker here is VEXRX. I type that into Morningstar, and then I click on, there's multiple tabs. I got one called quote, chart, performance.
Holdings.
I click on the one that says portfolio, and it gives me a little map, a size and style map.
Mm-hmm.
And I see a bunch of little circles in the box that says small cap growth.
Mm-hmm.
That is the Vanguard Explorer Admiral Fund.
Which I guessed correctly.
Yeah, which most people probably can't.
That Alan didn't
like,
know.
Like, I didn't know. Like, I did not know.
It was an educated guess.
Yeah, now you
said well. It was an educated guess.
So that is a way to look up your fund, is you take that ticker, you go online, and you look up what's inside. They'll tell you on the left-hand side, when I click that portfolio tab, it says asset allocation. They have a list of equities, U.S. equity, non-U.S. equity. They have fixed income, which is bonds. I don't know why we have to say fixed income instead of bonds, but fixed income is bonds.
Right.
And then they have percentages.
Yep. This How fund much is, of those?
It's 93% U.S. equities.
No surprise there.
The balance is in international equities and cash, like 3% cash.
What I like even more than that, especially for newer investors, is you can also see the specific makeup of the fund. Like which stocks, which bonds.
Yeah.
If they rise to, sometimes they might just show you the top 10.
Yeah.
Or sometimes they'll show you the top 50%. But either way, it's another set of details that tells you what's in the bag.
That's it. So that's what we're talking about today. What's in the bag?
Mm-hmm.
Educational segment today.
That's it.
That we've amalgamated for the listener.
Oh, Lord.
We're gonna go
I knew
to
it
break.
Was coming.
We're going to go to the break. That wasn't a great use of the word, but, you know, I was challenged to use the word today.
We'll talk more about that after the break.
I'm Alan Boomer.
Andrea Gray.
We are the Momentum Advisors.
It's the pathway to freedom.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Momentum. And we're back.
Mm-hmm.
Andre is mad, y'all.
We got to talk about Amalgamated, though. I forced it into the episode.
Listen, I use
and therefore Alan forced it into this episode.
Yeah.
We were literally on a team call and I don't even remember what we were talking about.
I was bragging about how well we've been pitching this one particular client where we brought together a whole team of advisors to pitch this one client. Mm-hmm. And I was explaining that we have the ability to put together these super teams in our firm because we're so dope.
We collaborated.
And that we...
We collaborated.
And we amalgamated.
Yes. And so our team gave Alan a hard time about using the word amalgamated. And I said, you, sir, must make that your big word on the next episode.
Yes.
And he did.
Yeah.
But
awkwardly.
We're going to try again.
Might I admit.
Okay.
All right. So we're having fun with this.
Yeah.
What's in the bag? So how well do you know the TSP plans, the government?
I know them pretty well.
Okay. All right. All right.
C fund, you heard her G say fund.
That. Okay. So F fund, what is that?
Ooh.
See? What's the F fund?
Fixed income.
Oh, she's good. This girl is good.
It's not that hard.
They tried to make it simple for you.
They did make it simple. C fund is common stock. G fund is government securities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, I'm not even using the show notes.
I fund is international.
And I fund is international. Yeah, they did try to make it pretty simple.
S is small cap.
Yeah.
I mean, it is worth reading to make sure. Like, I would think S could be stock.
Mm-hmm.
I may not know that C is common stock.
Sure.
Right?
Yep.
Now, typically, if you were putting together your own blend, we often tell people to think about matching their age to their bond percentage as kind of step one.
Mm-hmm.
Just as a general rule. It doesn't have to be exact.
Right.
Right? If I'm 70 years old, I think the majority of my money should be in safe investments.
Correct.
It means also as I get closer to retirement, I probably should be in safer things. I should own more in bonds.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you've got to pick your own investments, again, you really want to understand what these letters mean.
Right.
So let's keep going. So we talked earlier about looking stuff up in Morningstar.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk a little bit about these share classes that you talked about.
Ah.
Yeah. Because the financial industry is shady. That's
record company people are shady.
Yes. Yes.
Check the rhyme.
Yes.
Check the bag.
Yes. Check the bag.
Check the bag, y'all.
Yes. The financial industry is so shady that they would go as far as to charge two or three or four different prices for the same exact bag.
Crazy.
Like, yo.
And it's all legal.
Completely legal. Like.
And considered ethical somehow.
What other industry does this?
Just ours.
The same exact product, multiple prices, and you have no way of really knowing as a consumer which one that you have unless you look it up.
Yeah.
So I'll give you an example. There's this fund that we like. It's a bond fund. I'm not saying go buy this bond fund. I'm saying that we happen to like it amongst our choices for bonds.
It's not a recommendation.
Okay. The fund that we like is the PIMCO Income Fund.
Yep.
Okay. But there's multiple versions of the PIMCO Income Fund because there's the institutional version,
yep,
where the ticker is PIMIX.
PIMIX.
And then there's the PIMCO Income Fund A Shares.
PIMAX? I don't know.
Normally, yeah, but it's PONAX.
Oh, yes.
P-O-N-A-X.
Yep.
All right. So just bear with me for a minute. I'm going to give you an analogy for a minute.
Okay.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Imagine I'm walking into the restaurant with my significant other.
Mm-hmm.
It's Applebee's, let's say. It's a fine dining night. Right behind me, I look behind. Who do I see? I see Andrea and her significant other.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hey, Andrea. You see me get
you
to...
You would never catch us in Applebee's, though. Just saying.
Okay.
Okay, sorry.
Fridays?
No.
Fruddruckers?
No.
I'm sorry.
Continue the story. We're going with the analogy.
We're walking into a restaurant, mm-hmm. Okay. I walk in first. You're behind me, and you see me walk in with no problem. They're like, "Oh, Mr. Boomer, right this way."
Mm-hmm.
No cover charge. Come on in. Have a seat.
Yep.
Then Andrea and her significant other get to the front door, and they're saying, "That'll be $20 a person."
I'm out.
I hear you, but you don't.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
This
but
is
like,
happening.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then you pay your $20. Andrea pays her cover charge. Her spouse pays the cover charge. We're both seated at our tables. We can see each other. Like, mm-hmm. Hey, what's up, Andrea?
Yeah.
What's up, hubby? What up, yo?
Mm-hmm.
Dap. Okay. Menus come out. The menu that they give me and mine,
mm-hmm.
The salad is $20.
Mm-hmm.
The menu they give you, the same exact salad is $30.
Yep.
How would you feel?
Like I shouldn't be there.
Yo, that's exactly what's happening with mutual funds.
Yeah.
Like, this is one of the reasons why people would prefer to buy the low-cost index fund, because they don't have to worry about all this foolishness of fee differences.
That's right.
But the PIMCO Income Fund charges a fee that is 0.5%. That's the fee that the manager is getting. PIMCO, the investment firm, is getting 0.5%.
That's the A-class.
That's for the iShares.
That's for the iShares.
They're getting 0.5% of the management fee.
Mm-hmm.
But if you buy the A-shares, which again is the same exact salad, mm-hmm. the same exact restaurant, but just a higher price version,
yep.
there's a 3.75% coverage charge.
That's a big difference.
That's almost 4%. That is a front-end load.
Yep.
A load is code for commission
mm-hmm.
that goes to the person that you bought this thing from. So if you've got a financial advisor.
The fund
advisor,
manager.
No, it's going to your financial advisor, the load. That if you are a financial advisor and you put someone into the PONAX.
Yes,
brokerage firm. That yep. front-end load goes to the person that is selling that fund
yep.
to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's, again, why we talk about being a fiduciary. As fiduciaries, we're not allowed to accept these loads. Like,
right.
That load is like a cover charge. It's a fee to get in.
Yep.
It
for the same offerings.
It's like a kickback,
mm-hmm.
right?
Thank you for choosing our fund.
Yeah.
Mr. Broker.
I then go to the management fee, and no. The management fee is not 0.5% for the A shares. The management fee here is actually 0.65%.
Mm-hmm.
But wait a minute, I thought y'all said it was the same exact fund.
Yep.
Well, you happen to pick the higher price version of it, sir or ma'am. And then they got you on the front end.
Yep.
The menu price is harder.
Yep.
Then they're charging you automatic gratuity on the menu on top of that.
On top of that.
They got a quarter of a they have a quarter of a percentage point as a 12B1 fee. And a 12B1 fee is just a straight up ongoing annual fee that goes to your financial advisor just for the simple fact of them
yep.
being so kind as to cover your
yeah.
account.
Yep.
It's like gratuity.
Yep.
So you got a cover charge, a higher menu price, and gratuity automatically built in, where the iShares have no cover charge, a lower menu price, and no 12B1 fee at all.
For the same stuff. So whatever their return is, less the fee is what you actually experience as the investor.
Word.
So the higher the fees, the less money is in your pocket.
Yeah. Even though it's the same actual mix of bonds that have been put together by this portfolio manager, I looked
yeah.
at the 15-year return
mm-hmm.
on the iShares at 7.25%. The 15-year returns on the A shares is 6.8%. Like,
the difference is the fees.
Annual. Like, that's every year.
Yeah.
Like, this is costing you money, and you got to understand what's in the bag.
Yep.
I hate getting client statements, and they didn't know this. Like,
yeah, it's full of A shares.
Yeah.
Unnecessarily so.
Yeah, I hate that. And by the way, this word iShares, there's a company called iShares. Like, there's a product line called iShares, the company BlackRock.
Yep.
And let me just clarify iShares. iShares happens to be a company that has a product. So iShares is a product line for exchange-traded funds or ETFs. But also iShares is a share class in the mutual
right.
fund world. It's a little confusing because someone might be like, oh, well, I'm in iShares.
Yeah.
The
it's
ETF.
The share class.
Yeah, it's the share class.
For institutional, meaning most often, but not solely, though that share class is available to large groups of investors,
yes.
like investors in big company 401k plans.
Yes.
Or retirement plans or pensions or something like that.
So can we talk about target date funds for a moment?
Please, let's okay. talk about target date
Real
funds.
Real quick.
Okay.
What's a target date fund, Andrea?
A target date fund is generally a fund that gets more conservative as the stated target date gets closer.
That's right.
And it's that what Alan mentioned earlier is a lot of people who are auto-enrolling in
mm-hmm.
these 401k plans, they will put you in a target date fund. So
yes.
they'll decide based on your age what your target retirement date
mm-hmm.
in years might be. So you might see a target date fund that says 2055.
Yes.
And so generally speaking, the younger you are, the more risky or the higher the allocation to stocks there is.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you get closer to that year or that target date, it's going to get more conservative and your investments will automatically, with no choosing of your own, shift and get more conservative.
Correct. That sounds great.
It does.
Except.
I can set it and forget it.
Except for one thing. Often what's in the bag is not a good fit for you.
Yeah.
And how do I know what's in the bag? I might have to look this one up. When I tell you that I looked up the Vanguard Target Retirement 2045 Fund. So this would be. So imagine for a moment I'm 45 years old and my goal is to retire in about 20 years.
Yep.
So I joined my employer and I'm like, look, I don't have a lot of time to pick between the G and the F and the this, that, that. I'm just going to check off 2045. That sounds right. It's about 20 years from now.
Yep.
I'm 45 years old. I'm sure this is a good fit for me. What's in the bag? We looked up the 2045 retirement fund. Let's say I was not in a target date fund. I'm a 45-year-old person who wants to retire in about 20 years. What percentage would you suggest I should have in my bonds? Like knowing nothing more about me,
yeah,
about my risk tolerance, my goals. What would you, what ballpark would you be on bonds?
40 to 50%.
Okay. You would think that a 45-year-old person has 40 to 50% in safe investments.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what this target date fund has in safe investments?
Tell me. I don't know.
16%.
Hmm.
16%.
That sounds pretty high risk or aggressive.
So,
which might be okay, but they don't know you, so they don't know if that's okay for you or not.
This seems odd. Like, why would 60% of the new money going into retirement funds be landing in these target date funds where there's a huge mismatch between the risk that people might be expecting?
Sure.
And the risk that's being delivered.
Right.
Like, yo, what's up with that?
Yeah. Because that seems to me, if it's 16% in bonds, that means the other 84% is in stocks. Yeah, that's aggressive.
Yo, can I step on toes for a minute?
Step on them.
Can I talk
just
trash?
Just not mine.
Okay, fine.
Today.
You got a pedicure? I'll leave yours alone for
no,
a minute.
No, it's not that. My back will hurt.
So who's running these target date funds?
Mm-hmm.
Money management firms.
Yeah.
Okay. Do they get paid more to be in stocks or bonds? Typically. Which funds typically have a higher management fee?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can we see why these target date funds are pushing you into their higher priced product?
Yeah. Yep.
It's messed up.
Mm-hmm.
Target date funds on average are too aggressive because there's a conflict there.
Yeah.
These money managers, they're getting 1% for their equity or their stock funds.
Yeah.
They're getting 0.5 for their bond funds. So you know what? We're going to push a little more stocks on these jokers and this whole thing don't say nothing.
Yeah.
So it's really important for you to understand what's in the bag.
Yeah.
You got to know because your financial livelihood is depending on this.
Literally.
It's not safe enough to just pick the year and just set it and forget it.
Right.
We've had a number of years where the stock market has been unusually good.
Yep.
In a row.
Mm-hmm.
We are spoiled.
We are. We are.
We're very spoiled.
Yeah.
I don't feel like the next 10 years are going to be like the last 10 years.
I agree. And I say it all the time.
So you really got to do this research.
Yep.
I'm getting upset. We should talk about something else.
I've been mad. You just getting upset? No, yeah. I'm just kidding.
All right.
A little bit.
Final discussion. And we're going to talk about this for like 2 minutes. This could be a whole show, but we're just going to glaze over this.
Okay.
The financial industry is maturing. We went from back in the day, people would just buy stocks alone. This is in the 40s and 50s and 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Then the mutual funds became big in like the 60s and 70s and 80s.
Yep.
And then in the 90s and 2000s, ETFs became really popular.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's a new iteration that's coming. And it's called custom direct indexing.
Okay.
And custom direct indexing, I'll break down that word. I'll start backwards. So indexing means that I base this
portfolio. You get to start backwards. I had to start from the beginning. Okay. I see how this goes.
So indexing, I start out with a portfolio that references the index.
Got it.
I want to be the index. Okay. Direct. I'm actually going to buy the underlying holdings. I'm not going to buy a single ticker. I'm going to buy potentially all 500 tickers that are inside the S&P 500.
Mm-hmm.
But because I'm doing something that's index-based, it's still going to be really, really inexpensive.
Mm-hmm.
Like the product that we use, the manager that we use, the cost is very comparable to an ETF.
Mm-hmm.
The advantage, though, of owning each individual stock as opposed to one line item is that every year, even when stocks are going up, there's always a handful that are going down.
Mm-hmm.
And what custom direct indexing is doing is inside of this account, they're systematically selling all the losers every year.
Mm-hmm.
Not because they regret those investments, but purely for tax purposes.
Yep.
So that they can pocket those tax losses.
Yep.
And use them to offset gains in the future.
Tax loss harvesting.
Because when you put it together on an after-tax basis, you'll end up outperforming the index.
Yeah.
Because of the smart way that you're harvesting those tax losses.
Mm-hmm.
The custom part is that you can also customize which parts of that index you want to be in.
Mm-hmm.
For example, you can say, I want to avoid the prison industrial complex. I want to highlight companies that have a good track record on diversity with women or with ethnic minorities. I want to avoid gun manufacturers. We had multiple mass shootings and school just started.
Yep.
So this is coming. We started rolling this out probably like 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Not for every client. This is not for a retirement account. This is really for someone who's got a brokerage account with taxable money.
Mm-hmm.
You need a few hundred thousand to kind of get into this. You can't just, you know, buy this yourself
right. That
easily. But it's coming. This is what the fund industry is moving towards because they are running out of tricks. Like active management like is really losing market share
yeah.
to passive. And this is a way for them to stay relevant. And it actually makes a lot of sense. And we actually are proponents of this strategy where it makes sense.
Right. So is it then, by definition, a custom passive strategy? Or would you say it's an active strategy or a hybrid?
It could be a hybrid, right? Like
yeah.
there, you could buy one of these custom strategies that's exclusively passive.
Mm-hmm.
But the more you start to add in screens, like I want
yes.
to screen out gun manufacturers, it starts
you
to feel
a little
active.
Yes. Yep.
Right? The manager that we use, they have certain quality screens that we can opt in and check a box and we get those. And we've done a lot of analysis with them to figure out which screens make sense for our way of thinking as managers. And so this is what's coming. And
yeah.
if you have significant assets and, you know, you care about taxes and growth, this might be something to ask your advisor about.
Yep.
Because it's coming. So we talked about what's in the bag.
We're at the cutting edge.
We're kind of right there.
We're right there.
Yeah. We hope you learned something today.
Yep.
Tell a friend. Keep listening. Write us a review. Fine, we'll take it. Go to our website if you want to have a chat, momentum-advisors.com/contact.
Yep. Schedule a meeting with Alan if you want to talk to him.
And Andrea. Don't try to get out of it. You're a part of it.
Nah, I'm joking.
I'm Alan Boomer.
Andrea Gray.
We are the Momentum Advisors.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates. so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.